Said it? That woke you up, didn't it? Right. Okay. We're continuing on in our series of talks of nailing our colours to the cross. And I wish I had given this a bit more consideration and thought when we were selecting who was talking on which one. I was thinking of setting up the possible call hotline. this week, you will have noticed and witnessed that there was more attacks on innocent people in the underground tube in London. Couldn't happen to more just time for this talk. Again, ISIS are claiming responsibility for this. Thankfully, that explosion did not explode as it should have, and people's lives were spared on that occasion. I wonder how many people this week considered that the attacks of 9/11. It seems they've just slipped past. There was no TV announcements about it. There was no documentaries about it this year. There wasn't any of the big things that we have. People remembering the 9/11. The 9/11 attacks were a series of four coordinated terrorist attacks by the Islamic group Al-Qaeda on the United States of America on a Tuesday morning. Four airliners packed with people flew into two buildings and then flew into the trade complex and then flew into the Pentagon. Four planes crashed into four different areas, killing thousands of people. The attacks were horrifying. I remember it well because I was sitting my final exam to become an architect. Oh, he seems to feel I'm pushing my architecture here, but it wasn't. But I was doing my final exam. It was a written exam in the office. And I had the radio on. And I was sitting listening to the radio, and this came on. And I was horrified. And I did what everybody probably did, which is phone Taddy. Because whenever something goes on around the world, you don't understand, you phone Taddy. And I wasn't a Christian at this point. And I literally had to put an appy on. Because I was that terrified about what was going on in the world. And I phoned him. And I tried to discuss it with him and trying to understand what was going on. And Taddy's thing, whenever he's got you in the corner, you know, he can't get out of your back then. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus. You know, he's got you. And, you know, and you're so fearful of what is going on. These attacks came at the moment when I was pondering if there was a God. I had been coming to Shiloh on and off at that point. September through to December was my sort of trying to work out in my own head if there was a God. And at that time, I was trying to work out if there was a God, if he was the God of Israel, or was he the God of other religions, or was it the same God over everything? I had, of course, heard of terrorism before. I lived in Northern Ireland, lived there for years, but I'd never really heard of Muslim terrorists. Who were these mad people flying planes into buildings full of people and killing them in the name of their false God, Allah? It was a frightening time, and I needed to think long and hard about who God really was. And was this the God of love who was allowing all these people to die? Was this the God who allowed people to kill each other? I wasn't sure about what was happening. Of course, now I'm a Christian and I'm a believer of 17 years, and I'm able now to reason everything out. I'm able now to look at God's word, understand it, and try and reason things out. So I'm going to give you my thoughts on Islam, based on the biblical content and based on a viewpoint, not just of mine, but of the leadership in Shiloh. And hopefully our thoughts. I want to read, first of all, a passage of Scripture. And I'm reading from Genesis chapter 25, verses 23 through to 26. And this passage of Scripture is basically about two brothers thousands and thousands of years ago. And in the book of Genesis, we find the story of Isaac and his wife Rebekah. And Rebekah was barren. And Isaac pleaded with the Lord that she would bear and have a child. And whenever she was during her pregnancy, she could feel the twins inside were moving about. And she didn't feel that things were well. So she went and asked of the Lord. And this is what he said in Genesis 25, verses 23. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One shall be stronger than the other, and the other shall serve the younger." So when the days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when they were born. This is a prophecy that is fulfilled. Two brothers represent two nations. Esau is known as the Arab nations, and Jacob known as the nation of Israel. And from the beginning they fought and they argued and they sought to deceive each other, and you could go through the story yourself and see that. Which family of brothers don't fight or quarrel? But this was on a different level. However, this is the beginning of a fight that would span thousands and thousands of years and create to this day. The fight continues, and it creates two forms of religion as we know today. The first is the nation of Israel as we know it, and we know they follow Judaism in most part. And they follow and serve the Lord Yahweh. The second, Esau, represents the Arab nations. As a whole, they are Muslim and they practice Islam. And they follow their false god, Allah. What has developed over the thousands of years and continues to this day are two brothers and two nations who are constantly at war with each other. The threat of fighting and conflict and war is on a daily basis. The reason that I have outlined this brief history is to try and to put into context the history of hatred that has developed throughout the years to this point. Many have heard and witnessed the numerous terrorist attacks that have caused the death of many in major cities throughout the world in only the last couple of years. You need only think of Paris, you need only think of London, to name a couple. The people behind these are extremists that want to see the death and destruction of innocent people. They claim to destroy in the name of Allah, the God of their religion. Many will begin to say that I am saying that all Muslims are killers. This is not what I am saying at all. Many will call me a racist or spreading religious hatred. That is not what I am saying at all. I understand that over thousands of years there have been many wars and battles with regards to the Christendom, Crusades, the Ottoman empires, and of course the Roman empires, and other things that have happened thousands and thousands of years ago. And I know they rose and they fought over religion, and I'm putting that to one side for now. I do understand that each religion has its own theory, its own gods, and they have their own view in the world, this world, and the world to come. But Islam has what it sees as a total solution, an absolute answer that covers every aspect of life, from how we live to how we die. The theology is one that does not tolerate other religions on any level. In some Muslim countries, the punishment for converting to Christianity, apart from being tortured, is death. And if you're a Muslim and you're caught turning to Christ, you will be killed. Tolerance is not accepted. I have listened this week to debates. Now, I listen to a lot of things you've probably gathered over the years. And I'm a real, I love listening to debates between religious people. And lately I've been listening to Christopher Hitchens, who is a so-called atheist that I don't believe in, versus Tariq Ramadan, who is a Muslim leader and professor. And they had a debate this week which was welcomed, in 2003, that was welcomed in the university. It was all set up and it was a lovely, it was the perfect debate. And Christopher Hitchens was allowed to put forward his views. He was allowed to attack the Muslim. He was allowed to accuse him of things and his country and his beliefs. And he was allowed to do it on a public stage. If a Christian challenges on the same grounds, we need to be careful that we are not being viewed as religious people who are fueling hatred, like my Pastor McConnell. I have to be careful as a Christian believer that I am not going to be hauled up before the courts for something that I say tonight in this talk. However, I will also put that aside. I will say what I believe in, and that was in the Word of God. We live in a changing world. We live in a world where respect is not only expected of others, but we're told to respect others. I can see how Israel managed this. I can see how Christians do this. I struggle to see how the religion of Islam does this. The question is, how do you separate the suicide killers from the everyday Muslim and understand their motives? But when you have extremists killing in the name of their God, we need to question why. ISIS, for example, has been killing and destroying people across Iraq, only lately being defeated, also in Syria. They induct their children and brainwash them into their army, and they use them as child soldiers. The years of ISIS reign have left misery and destruction that will be felt for decades to come. But why? The reality is this, that the Islamic State is Islamic, very Islamic. Yes, it has attracted psychopaths and adventure seekers and jihadi johns from all over the world to come and join them on their fights, but drawn down largely from the disaffected populations of the Middle East and in Europe. But the religion preached by its most ardent followers derives from coherent and even learned interpretations of Islam. Could ISIS exist without Islam? I'm taking a quote here. Virtually every major decision and law made by the Islamic State adheres to what it calls, in its press pronouncements and on its billboards, license plates, stationery and coins, the prophetic methodology, which means following the prophecy and example of Muhammad in detail. What we're saying here tonight is everything that ISIS is doing is formed and based upon the ideologies that come from the religion that they follow. Whether it is an extreme way of doing it or not, they are following in detail what is laid down in the Islamic law, or part of it. But pretend that this isn't actually a religious military group without a theology that must be combated. They must be defeated. The United States have been trying to do this with their war on terrorism for the last 10 or so years. So the Islamic State follows a religion and its ideologies that are laid out in the Quran. The religious book is laid out by their prophet Muhammad. You might say this group are misinterpreting the Quran and using its own brutal end. Many in the Muslim group, in the Muslim world, claim that this is a peaceful religion. I listened to Richard Hickens trying to say that how can you have a religion and trying to say the bits that are being bad are not really Muslim. They are all Muslim. It doesn't really matter what the small group that is fighting outside of their cause, if you want, are still a part of the whole Islamic and Muslim group. Many in the Muslim world claim that it is focused or created upon a peace religion, and it focuses everything in five pillars. There's the five pillars of faith that Islam have the base of everything on. The first one is the declaration of faith. There is no God but Allah and Muhammad, the final messenger. Second, prayer. Praying five times a day and kneeling towards Mecca. Third, charity or giving alms. And the fourth, fasting during the month of Ramadan. All of these appear as credible forms of worship. You might think that as believers ourselves, we kind of tally with these. Yes, we pray. Yes, we have faith. Yes, we give alms. Yes, we pray. Yes, we fast. But when I look at these five pivotal points, the one thing that I see that is missing, and I never really hear this at all, is the word love. In the Quran, it mentions love in many places. However, the main difference is that it doesn't refer to loving a stranger or others opposed to the religion of Islam. The word love appears 45 times in the whole of the Quran, mostly used in expressions as in love of wealth, love of life, love of Allah, love of women, love of self, love of other believers. Whereas the Quran, unlike the Bible, does not encourage love of strangers, and this is going to be my main point, or any others who do not believe in Allah or his prophet. In the Bible, on the other hand, the word is mentioned at least 155 times in all its forms and manifestations. In the form of loving the stranger, it is a big, big thing. In contrast to all that the five pillars say, Jesus says this, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. This is the commandment that every believer in God stands upon and must live their life to. It's not optional. This is the great commandment. We want to reach out and show love to the stranger, to the widow, to the prisoner, to the whoever. I am commanded to love all people who blow up people, who drive flames into buildings, who jump on the trains with rucksacks of bombs. I am commanded to love people who abuse me in the street, who abuse me for being a Christian, who will abuse me for giving this sermon. But the other important commandment that I must keep, which is found in the Ten Commandments, is this: you shall have no other gods before me. This means, as a Christian tonight, I can stand on nothing else and no other place. I have to have God in the one and only place in my life, and there can be no other gods. We cannot be people who in any way accept false gods or meeting together to worship them together. We cannot enter a meeting with Muslims or Hindus or Catholics offering praise to God. We cannot do that. We will not do that. Now you can tell me, who is the extremist? Our God will not or cannot accept praise or worship any other way. Maybe I'm beginning to sound like an extremist myself. Imagine that, saying profound things in my own country under God. This is what is going to happen to believers because we won't bow down to false gods. We in Shiloh, I trust, take the view that we will never worship another God with any other religion and hold fast to God and what he says in his word. We cannot bow our heads to another God. I would go as far to say tonight, and this is a bit extreme, that we would be prepared to lose our heads rather than bow our head to a false God. We will never be an ecumenical church with liberal views. It is not open for debate. Yes, we can open the doors to any person who wants to come in seeking to know the God of my Bible, but we cannot and will not accept other religious beliefs, including Islam, to be practiced in our church. You know, at the minute we're allowing, you know, there is an Islamic temple now in Newton Arts. They're trying to build the biggest temple they can in Belfast. They're trying to get as much money as they can together to create the biggest temple that they can in Belfast. You know, I believe that when these things begin to happen, that our country will suffer severely for it. The basic point is that Islamic teaching and doctrines are being used by people to hurt and attack innocent people. We cannot sit here today and pretend it doesn't happen. 9/11 tells me it happens. Manchester tells me it happens. Paris tells me it happens. London on many occasions tells me it happens. Some of what is in the Quran are fueling the rise in the extremists who want to use this to remove the infidel. You know, I could have went on about this talk for hours tonight, and I could have given you many, many other points. But we are believers tonight that believe in a God of love, a God of mercy, and a God of compassion. We have a God who wants us to turn to him, not through death and violence or brutal slaying of innocent people, not by trying to hold a gun or a bomb to somebody's back to try to make them turn to a God. And we have a God who wants us to turn to him, who wants us to spread the news of Jesus and what he has done for us. In complete contrast to Islam, Jesus came and died for us so that we might live. That is the clearest difference, if you want to take it, between what we believe in our Bible and in the Quran. They do not have a Savior who comes and dies in my place. They do not have this. They do not have this level of love that is demonstrated through God's only Son. I don't have to kill and spread hatred. I have to show love. I have to demonstrate love. Love is love your neighbor. Love the stranger. Love the bomber. Love the hater. Tonight, while we cannot and will not accept the teaching of Islam or worship of any false gods, we will continue to preach and to teach in love. In love to conquer all things. In love to offer what our God has to offer. A God who wants us to come to him freely, without being forced to come to him and accept Jesus as our Savior. tonight I would urge us, as the years come on, that we would hold fast to the Word of God. Because I believe that the Word of God is going to become more and more attacked. And that Christians who stand in the street corners preaching from the Bible, or people like me standing here saying what I'm saying, will come under severe pressure for what we're doing. In fact, to the point that one day we will not be allowed to do this. I urge you tonight to cling fast to the Word of God, to cling fast to what it tells us, and to hold strong to everything that God has given to us. Never give up on the Word of God, and don't ever card away from what God has to say in His Bible when He says, "You shall have no other God before me." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you tonight for what you've said, for what you've shown us, for how, Lord God, you want us to dedicate our lives fully to you. You do not want us, Lord, in any way to mix our love or religion, or praise or worship for you with other false religions, with other false gods. You are a jealous God, and you want us, Lord God, to honour you with all that we have, to worship you, Lord God, and to give you all the praise, glory and honour. I ask you, Lord, that we would be Christians, believers in here tonight, who are strong enough and faithful enough to do this, and to never back down, and to never give in, and to never subside to the pressures that will come upon us as the decades move in. I ask you, Lord, to bless us as we leave here tonight, and keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen.